In your neurology office, you meet a newly admitted patient, a 42-year-old man brought in by his wife after developing a peculiar constellation of symptoms. He's had 8 months of mood changes, such as unprovoked irritability. He has become more impulsive, making financial and social decisions without consulting family members. Most recently, he had displayed some unusual eating habits, such as carefully mixing 3 types of cereal for every meal. His personal hygiene has declined, he has lost interest in taking his young son to the park, and he has gotten lost on his way home from work 4 times. His wife is concerned because she can no longer trust leaving their son alone in the patient's care. While the patient's forgetfulness may trigger you to think of dementia, you note that the patient's age is quite young and he has a wide range of behavioral changes. What types of conditions could cause his symptoms? And how would you differentiate between the possible causes of his neurological presentation? And welcome to Audio Bricks. I'm Yoon Weisholt, here to bring neurology from our bricks to your ears. After our episode today, you'll be able to 1. Define neurodegenerative diseases and list the main types. 2. Explain the mechanism of protein aggregation and neuronal loss that underlies all neurodegenerative diseases. 3. Describe common misfolded proteins pathogenic to neurodegenerative diseases. And 4. Compare and contrast the clinical presentation and pathophysiology of Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, Lewy body dementia, Huntington's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Part 1. What are neurodegenerative diseases? Neurodegenerative diseases are a group of relatively common, progressive neurologic conditions that tend to affect people as they age. Basically, neurons in the brain die, causing functional deficits in movement and behaviors. The part of the brain affected determines whether patients will experience dementia, such as deteriorated cognitive function, psychiatric disturbances, problems with movement, or a combination of these. Unfortunately, these conditions usually are not curable. The neurodegenerative disease you may be most familiar with is Alzheimer's disease, which affects about 5.5 million people in the United States and is the most common cause of dementia. But there are others, each presenting with a distinct set of symptoms and are caused by abnormal proteins that collect in specific parts of the brain. Quick pop quiz. What is the definition of a neurodegenerative disease? Neurodegenerative diseases are progressive conditions involving neuron death and abnormal proteins that affect people's movement and behaviors as they age. Part 2. What mechanisms underlie neurodegenerative diseases? Think back to our patient from the beginning. What would have caused a 42-year-old man to suddenly develop cognitive and behavioral problems? To help us understand that question, we need to explore the general mechanisms behind neurodegenerative diseases first. Neurodegenerative diseases are characterized by the presence of pathologically altered, misfolded proteins that aggregate in the brain. Each type of disease is associated with specific misfolded proteins, and we'll be going over these later on. There are 2 ways that misfolded proteins can cause mayhem. The first is through abnormal protein aggregation. The second is through defective protein degradation. Normally, proteins need to be properly folded into particular 3-dimensional structures to function properly. This requires chaperone proteins, cellular trafficking networks, and protein degradation machinery. But if proteins get misfolded, they will not function properly. This leads to a buildup of abnormal proteins, leading to protein aggregates that accumulate in the brain and hinder brain function. Healthy cells eliminate abnormally folded proteins primarily through the ubiquitin proteasome system, or UPS. The UPS uses ubiquitin, a small regulatory protein, as a tag that marks proteins for degradation by the proteasome. Failure of the ubiquitin system to identify and eliminate misfolded proteins contributes to defective protein degradation. Think of this protein process as your town government. For trash pickup day to occur, different departments from trash collection, recycling, and pickup trucks need to all coordinate together to get the job done properly. But if you produce too much trash, or if something goes wrong with the coordination of the pickup, you get left with bags of garbage that accumulate in your house and around your yard, hindering your daily work. Now let's see if you are paying attention. What are two protein mechanisms that underlie neurodegenerative diseases? They are 1. Abnormal protein aggregation, and 2. Defective protein degradation. Okay, so why is all this talk about misfolded proteins and their accumulation in the brain so important? Well, it's because the buildup of protein aggregates interrupts cellular processes, leading to neuronal cell death, and the loss of neurons leads to symptoms of neurodegenerative diseases. For instance, and this will give you a sneak peek of what we'll discuss in detail really soon, the extracellular plaques in Alzheimer's disease are made up of misfolded proteins. These plaques alter neurotransmission and are toxic to neurons and synapses. Large deposits lead to inflammatory responses that result in further cell injury, death, and eventually brain atrophy. And why do neurodegenerative diseases become more common as we age? It's because the aging body demonstrates decreasing capacity to eliminate toxic molecules like these aberrant proteins. Consequently, it is logical that diseases like Alzheimer's disease have increased prevalence in advanced age. Let's see if you remember the logic of our discussion. How do defective protein mechanisms contribute to neurodegenerative processes? Buildup of abnormal proteins interrupts normal cell processes, causing neuron death. Part 3. Types of neurodegenerative diseases. Okay, so now we're going to explore the main types of neurodegenerative diseases. As you can imagine, the pathophysiology which we will discuss is pretty complex. To help us learn the key points, I want to share with you some strategies for remembering what we will learn. First, remember that each neurodegenerative disease is associated with an abnormal protein. Second, the abnormal protein will be distributed in specific brain areas for each disease. Each disease is also associated with a specific region of the nervous system. Finally, the anatomic region affected during the course of each disease will explain the symptoms seen. For example, frontal and temporal lobe degeneration are responsible for personality and language changes, respectively. Let's start with Alzheimer's disease, which is the most common cause of dementia. It is a slowly progressive neurodegenerative disease typically seen in the elderly. How do patients with Alzheimer's disease typically present? Alzheimer's disease presents with slow onset of decreased higher intellectual function and altered mood and behavior. This then progresses to disorientation, memory loss, and aphasia. After about 10 years, patients become significantly disabled, mute, and immobile, indicative of severe cortical dysfunction. What pathologic changes would you see in the brain of a patient with Alzheimer's disease? The key defining histology are plaques, tangles, glial reaction, and neuronal loss that can be observed in the cerebral cortex, hippocampus, and amygdala. These are areas of the brain that control executive functioning, memory, and emotions. The diffuse cerebral atrophy results in enlargement of the cerebral ventricles, called hydrocephalus ex vacuo. Remember that we learned from the beginning of our episode that abnormal protein aggregation underlies neurodegenerative diseases. So what is a protein abnormality causing Alzheimer's disease? In this disorder, the abnormal protein is called beta amyloid, and it's created by cleaving the transmembrane protein amyloid precursor protein, or APP. Beta amyloid will then aggregate, and its aggregation leads to activation of kinases that cause hyperphosphorylation of the protein tau. Tau is a neuronal microtubule binding protein. Hyperphosphorylated tau results in improper distribution of the protein, interfering with cell function and contributes to cell death. These abnormal protein processes lead to the two key histopathologic findings in Alzheimer's disease brains. 1. Extracellular amyloid plaques, which is made up of beta amyloid, and 2. Intracellular neurofibrillary tangles, which is made up of hyperphosphorylated tau. Let's do a quick review before we move on. What microscopic findings would you expect to see in a patient with Alzheimer's disease? In a patient with Alzheimer's disease, we would expect to see extracellular beta amyloid plaques and intracellular tangles of tau. The next neurodegenerative disorder we'll discuss is called frontal temporal dementia, or FTD. FTD is a subgroup of a larger group of disorders called frontal temporal lobar degeneration. Among patients with behavioral variant FTD, disinhibited behavior, impulsivity, and inappropriate comments are common. The other common presentation of FTD is progressive aphasia. These patients will also exhibit memory problems similar to that seen in Alzheimer's disease. So how do we differentiate between Alzheimer's disease and frontal temporal dementia? The clinical picture differs between the two. First, patients with FTD are younger, often younger than 65 years at onset. And second, the progression of FTD is much faster. And lastly, amnesia is not typically the earliest complaint. Instead, frontal temporal dementia patients often present with behavioral changes like a decline in personal hygiene, changing eating habits, lack of judgment, and loss of empathy. The clinical presentation differences are important, so let's test what you just learned. How does frontal temporal dementia present differently from Alzheimer's disease? Patients with Alzheimer's disease typically present first with memory loss, whereas patients with FTD present initially with behavioral and personality changes. So, what are the anatomic brain changes in patients with FTD? Well, as the name suggests, the hallmark is atrophy of the frontal and temporal lobes, which produces changes in behavior and personality. Patients will also exhibit focal atrophy of the language cortex in the dominant hemisphere, which explains their symptom of aphasia or difficulty with language. And what is the protein abnormality causing frontal temporal dementia? Once again, it's abnormal aggregates of tau protein. However, the tau inclusions in FTD differ from the neurofibrillary tangles of tau in Alzheimer's disease. Instead, FTD brain biopsies will show smooth, round inclusions called PIC bodies as a characteristic finding. FTD is also commonly associated with the buildup of a protein known as TDP43. Okay, one more pop quiz about FTD before we move on. What microscopic findings would you expect to see in a patient with frontal temporal dementia? We would typically see tau inclusions called PIC bodies. Now let's turn our attention to Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease initially is characterized by tremor, rigidity, bradykinesia, and postural instability. Dementia may follow later. Parkinson's disease is characterized by the formation of specific types of protein aggregates called Lewy bodies, which are intracellular eosinophilic inclusions composed of the protein alpha-synuclein. The Lewy bodies are only found in the substantia nigra of the basal ganglia, specifically in the neurons there that release dopamine. This is why in Parkinson's disease, you see loss of dopaminergic neurons in the substantia nigra. But how does this pathophysiology cause the symptoms seen in Parkinson's? The basal ganglia connects five major brain pathways to other brain regions which are involved in regulating movement, learning, and attention. All of these pathways are affected in Parkinson's disease when the substantia nigra is disrupted, leading to hypokinesia, or reduction in motor output, and other neuropsychiatric symptoms. Let's check up on your knowledge about Parkinson's disease pathology. What protein abnormality would you see in Parkinson's disease, and where? You would see Lewy bodies in the substantia nigra. Now, Lewy bodies are also found in another neurodegenerative disease called Lewy body dementia. Lewy body dementia is characterized by early dementia and the key defining symptom, visual hallucinations. Patients with Lewy body dementia may also have Parkinsonian features like tremors, rigidity, akinesia, and postural instability. But a key difference between Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia is that the distribution of Lewy bodies is diffuse throughout the brain. Quick quiz on this neurodegenerative disease. What is a key clinical feature seen in Lewy body dementia? The answer is visual hallucinations. Okay, at this point, let's do a quick review of what we've learned so far. Alzheimer's disease presents with progressive memory loss and the presence of beta amyloid plaques in neurofibrillary tangles, especially in the hippocampus. Frontal temporal dementia presents with behavioral and personality changes before rapidly progressing to memory deficits, and abnormal tau proteins are found in pig bodies. Both Lewy body dementia and Parkinson's disease have misfolded alpha-synuclein protein accumulating in Lewy bodies. But while these pathologic findings are diffuse throughout the brain in Lewy body dementia, in Parkinson's disease, they are predominantly found in the substantia nigra of the basal ganglia. Another well-studied neurodegenerative disease that affects the basal ganglia is Huntington's disease. Patients with Huntington's disease experience cognitive symptoms like forgetfulness, behavioral changes, and depression, including a high rate of suicide. The behavioral changes are followed by jerky, random motions called chorea in progressive dementia. Huntington's disease is associated with marked degeneration of the basal ganglia, specifically the caudate imputamen. The caudate imputamen formed the dorsal striatum of the basal ganglia. If you're looking at a coronal brain image, the caudate will be located to either side of the lateral ventricles, and the putamen will be below the caudate and to the lateral side of the thalamus. Atrophy of the head of the caudate is visible on brain imaging. What is the protein abnormality in Huntington's disease? To answer that question, we have to understand the genetics of the disease. Huntington's disease is an autosomal dominant disorder caused by CAG nucleotide repeats in the gene encoding the protein Huntington on chromosome 4. These repeats yield a mutant protein that is misfolded and resistant to ubiquitination, which results in large intranuclear aggregates that cause neurons to die. As an autosomal dominant condition, affected patients typically have other family members with similar symptoms, and Huntington's disease displays a phenomenon called anticipation, where affected patients in each subsequent generation will have an earlier onset of the symptoms due to increased CAG trinucleotide repeats. Now, let's stop here for a quick check on what we've just learned. What is the genetic mutation found in Huntington's disease? Huntington's disease is caused by CAG trinucleotide repeats that encode abnormal Huntington protein. Next, let's move out of only the brain and include degenerative diseases involving the brainstem and spinal cord. The disorder amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS, is caused by death of motor neurons in the motor cortex and lower motor neurons in the spinal cord and brainstem. ALS is a disease of progressive motor weakness, spasticity, and atrophy. Because of progressive damage to both upper and lower motor neurons, ALS results in a clinical presentation of coexisting upper and lower motor neuron signs. Patients can demonstrate progressive muscular atrophy, fasciculations, and weakness from lower motor neuron damage, in addition to weakness, hyperreflexia, spasticity, and a Babinski sign from upper motor neuron damage. Because there is a double hit on both upper and lower motor neurons, weakness is rapidly progressive. What do we see on neuropathology of patients with ALS? The histopathologic hallmark of ALS are protein aggregates seen inside motor neurons, which are composed of misfolded TDP43 protein. These inclusion bodies are believed to lead to neuron death of both upper and lower motor neurons. Sensory nerves are largely unaffected, but cognitive function can be affected by the disease. Now, let's see if you can tie structure and function together. How does the pattern of pathologic findings correlate to symptoms in ALS? ALS is characterized by neuron death of both upper and lower motor neurons, which leads to a clinical presentation involving both upper and lower motor neuron signs. Another rare but interesting cause of neurodegeneration is Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, or CJD. It's caused by an accumulation of misfolded proteins called prions. The most distinguishing feature of this disease is the very rapid progression from disease onset to death. Patients with CJD have distinctive clinical features of myoclonus, or spastic muscular jerking, and ataxia, which is poor coordination. Patients may also develop dementia, memory and concentration deficits, mood changes, and sleep disturbances. CJD has a long incubation period, but once clinical symptoms present, the disease is rapidly progressive. Unfortunately, the disease is uniformly fatal, and most patients die about 6 months after the emergence of clinical symptoms. CJD can affect nearly all areas of the brain. It results in a spongy degeneration of the brain with neuron loss termed spongiform encephalitis. The term spongiform comes from the fact that the disease causes holes in the brain, apparent on histology, making it appear spongy. And here's a scary note. Prions are misfolded proteins that are transmissible, and that they can confer their misfolding onto normal proteins in a new host. In that sense, they act like an infectious organism, such as a virus, and were first thought to be just that. But they are now known to be proteins, not organisms. In their native state, prion proteins are present in healthy cells in all organs, but are concentrated in the brain. They function normally in transmembrane transport and signaling. However, the prions can form abnormal aggregates called amyloid proteins, similar to what is seen in Alzheimer's disease. All right, one final question for fun. What does the brain tissue look like in patients affected by CJD? Prions in CJD cause spongy degeneration of brain tissue, so it looks like there are numerous holes on histology. And that's it for neurodegenerative diseases. Thanks for sticking with me. Let's see if we've completed our goals for this episode. First, can you describe what neurodegenerative diseases have in common? Neurodegenerative diseases are progressive neurologic conditions that affect people as they age, often manifesting as memory loss, movement abnormalities, and behavioral or psychiatric changes. These disorders are caused by abnormal proteins that lead to neuron death in specific areas of the brain, which explain the specific symptoms associated with each type of disorder. Second, can you explain the two main abnormal protein processes underlying neurodegeneration? One is protein aggregation, where misfolded proteins that cannot function properly build up either inside or around neurons and hinder neuronal function. The other is defective protein degradation, where abnormal proteins cannot be effectively removed. Next, let's dig into our goals by reviewing abnormal proteins through a lightning round. When I name a protein, tell me what neurodegenerative disease it is associated with. What diseases are caused by abnormal tau inclusions? Alzheimer's disease pathology shows intracellular neurofibrillary tangles made up of hyperphosphorylated tau, and it also has amyloid plaques made up of beta amyloid. It's the most common cause of dementia and presents as slowly progressive cognitive decline. Atrophy is seen in the cerebral cortex, hippocampus, and amygdala. Frontotemporal dementia patients will also develop tau inclusions inside cells called PIC bodies. However, this disease tends to exhibit behavioral and personality changes before memory loss and tend to present at a younger age compared to Alzheimer's individuals. FTD shows marked atrophy of the frontal and temporal lobes. Now, what neurodegenerative disease displays abnormal alpha-synuclein protein? Parkinson's disease is caused by Lewy bodies made up of abnormal alpha-synuclein protein in the substantia nigra, which explain why this disorder presents with abnormal movements like tremor, rigidity, bradykinesia, and postural instability. Lewy body dementia also has alpha-synuclein inclusions, but these aggregates are found diffusely throughout the brain. It can present with Parkinsonian features, but the key defining symptom is visual hallucination. Which neurodegenerative disorder is associated with misfolded TDP43 protein? The histopathologic hallmark of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis is misfolded TDP43 protein aggregates inside motor neurons. ALS involves upper and lower motor neuron degeneration, with patients presenting with muscular atrophy, fasciculations, hyperreflexia, and spasticity. Finally, can you describe the pathology and presentation of Huntington's disease and Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease? Huntington's disease is an autosomal dominant disorder caused by CAG trinucleotide repeats that produce mutant Huntington protein. It is associated with atrophy of the caudate and putamen, and patients present with cognitive deficits and uncontrolled jerky movements called chorea. Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease is caused by prions and is a rapidly progressive disease. Patients develop dementia and sleep disturbances that can progress to death within 6 months. Prions cause spongy degeneration of the brain tissue. Now that we've covered the basics of several main types of neurodegenerative diseases, let's revisit our patient from earlier to see if we can determine his diagnosis and prognosis. If you recall, you recently saw a new patient in your office. He's a 42-year-old man brought in by his wife because he has had 8 months of mood changes, impulsivity, irritability, and forgetfulness. He has developed some unusual eating habits and can no longer take care of his child or finances independently. What tests would you request in your workup with the patient? What additional questions would you ask him and his family members? While the patient's forgetfulness may trigger you to think of dementia, you note that the patient's age is quite young and he has a wide range of behavioral changes. You next gather additional family and social history about the patient. You discover that he displays a lack of interest or general apathy towards hobbies he previously pursued. In addition to his eating habits, he has also begun to put inedible objects into his mouth, like Legos. Your physical and neurological exam do not reveal any deficits, and routine blood work and lumbar puncture show no abnormalities. But on neuropsychological testing, the patient displays marked deficiencies in word recall, naming objects, with some short-term memory deficits. You order a brain MRI, which reveals atrophy of the frontal and temporal lobes in this patient. Based on his age and behavioral symptom changes, timeline of presentation, neuropsychological testing and imaging results, you diagnose him with frontal temporal dementia. Although FTD is incurable, you counsel the patient and his wife on the progression of the disease and help them begin planning for long-term care. From this interaction, you realize that neurodegenerative disease is much more complex than just dementia. You begin to appreciate the importance of differentiating between the different types of neurodegenerative disorders. And that's our show for today. Make sure to like and subscribe. Your feedback continuously helps us to improve. You can get the full RX Bricks experience online at www.usmle-rx.com, complete with illustrations, study questions, flashcards, and active learning. Happy studying, and see you next time.